Bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's good to be back home. It's good to be here worshiping with you brethren here at home. I thought this morning I'd like to continue the study there in Hebrews. And would like to read from Hebrews 2 through Hebrews 3, verse 6. So if we could all stand for the reading of the word, would like to read this scripture. If you want to stand. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are of all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to look at the qualifications, Christ's qualifications to be a Savior. Now, the Hebrew writer in the past, in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, first part of 1, he reminded us that Christ, as Christ's person, Christ's being, was the express image of God. That when you saw Christ, when you heard Christ, when you understood Christ, you understood God. That was the express image of Jesus Christ. And that was what he was trying to teach us in Hebrews chapter 1, the first couple verses. And then the second kind of portion of it is teaching us that Christ's message was the very heart of God to us as his people. And Christ was, what he said was God speaking to man. Now this morning, the writer is trying to teach us that Jesus Christ was, his character was the very character of God. And his character was also the characteristics or the qualifications was Jesus fulfilling God's plan for redemption. Christ's message, the second part of what was last Sunday or two Sundays ago, was a message that will judge us at the last day. The judgment of all people, of when the sheep and the goats are separated forever. The sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And we can read that story in Matthew 25, 31 to 34. And 45 through 46. At the judgment day when Jesus Christ was separating the goats from the sheep. And incidentally, the ones that were called goats were just simply the ones that didn't obey. That's really what it was. And the ones that were called sheep were the ones that obeyed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Do you see Jesus this morning? Or can you, all you see is all the trouble in the world? Do you see Jesus? Is he real in our hearts? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and praise and honor. It says, but that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So was Jesus not perfect this morning, as before his crucifixion? Was he not perfect? What was the writer saying that he needed to go through suffering to make himself perfect, to make Jesus perfect? I don't know if I have answers for all these questions. But if we look over in verse 17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, it was necessary for him, for Jesus, to be made like unto his brothers. Jesus Christ took on him the nature of man. Jesus as God couldn't die. God is eternal in the past and in the future, eternal future. Death came unto man because of sin. And no sin, again, lives in the presence of God. So in order for Jesus to come down and die for man's sins, for my sins, he had to take upon himself the nature of man. He had to become man. He took on himself the nature and form of a man, and yet he was without sin. He gave his life for wretched humanity. You know, angels are not creatures of choice. They don't have a choice, neither did they die for anyone. So Jesus Christ, in order to die for us, had to take upon himself the nature of man. He was willing to become man with all its implications, yet he was without sin. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 9 tells us, 8. Maybe we'll turn to that. Philippians 2. And eventually I'll come back to Philippians 2 again. But if Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We'll stop reading there. Jesus Christ did not hang on to his claim of being, I think he knew he was part of the Godhead, and yet he gave up that right to come down and live among men. He gave up that part of himself that was God, he gave it to God, so that he could die, so that he could experience what we experience. Now, he did have the power. He was God. He was perfectly God, perfectly man. But he never used his powers of God, the God power, for selfish purposes. It was always to help other people. He never used his God powers to make life easier for himself. Jesus Christ lived life like any other man, any other human being. He was born to a mother. He grew up under the authority of parents. He had friends as a child. He went to school. He worked for his earthly father. He faced sorrow and separation because of death. This was Jesus Christ. Something that he never experienced before while he was still God in heaven. He didn't know how to be tempted. James tells us God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. Luke 2, 51 and 52 says, "And he, Jesus Christ, went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So let's keep in mind again that the Jesus' character qualifications to be the Savior. So the first one was he became man. He took upon himself the nature of man. Now I have about four of them total, and I know there's more, but I have at least four. Now, number two, he became perfect through suffering, and that is back to Hebrews, verse 10, "And it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Hebrews 4:14 through 16 tells us, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, this morning, because of the pain and suffering that Jesus went through, he perfectly understands the struggle of mankind. He perfectly understands our struggle because of what he went through. He can take our prayers and be the mediator between man and God. That is his, I don't want to call it a job, and yes, that is his, there's a better word than a job. Role, thank you. That is his, yeah. That's what he does. He understands what it means to go through difficult times and situations. He understands how pain can change a person's outlook. He understands the temptation of trying to shield our flesh from pain, from suffering. He understands the temptations we face, that we may be faced to give up the faith because the way of is hard. And the reason he can understand this is because he went through this whole thing himself. If we would go back to Matthew in verse in chapter 26 and 27, especially 26, where he and I didn't read that this morning, but where he was facing that battle at the garden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we can read the anguish of Jesus Christ's heart as he was praying to God to let this cup pass from him. He didn't want to go through that, but he still came back to say, and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was willing to go through it if that's what God wanted him. So Jesus Christ understands our struggle. He understands our pain. He understands the temptation that we go through. Number three, the Bible says that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Now we wonder sometimes, what was Jesus tempted with? Well, we can read his temptation there in Matthew 3, when Satan came to him and said, "I will give you all the kingdoms of this world if you would just fall down and worship me." I think that was the third one. The first one was, he was hungry and he was supposed to speak to the stones and let the stones become bread. And Jesus said, well, it's not, yeah, the man doesn't live by bread alone. The second one, I think he was supposed to go up to the pinnacle of the temple and throw himself down, and God's going to take care of you. You know, kind of, you know, just irresponsibly throw yourself off the cliff and expect God to somehow get down there and kind of catch you before you hit the bottom. And we think those are the only three that he ever faced. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like we are. Now, this morning, because of the things that are available to us today, we may face a temptation. I'm not sure how I can word this, that it makes sense. We may face a temptation with a thing that Jesus did not face because it wasn't available then. But the scope of the temptation is same. If you follow me, what I'm saying? You know, today we have all kinds of things. We have smartphones. I had to think of a smartphone because I have one. And you know, Jesus Christ may not have been tempted to pull his smartphone out of his pocket and just be glued to the screen. They didn't have smartphones. He may not have been tempted to watch bad movies because there wasn't no movies. Playing video games all the time. No, I'm not aware that they were. They had those. And really, you know, if you stop and think, people that are tempted with that are tempted to just be kind of withdrawn within in themselves. We kind of get wrapped up in our own pleasures, in our own things that we want to do. And that's, you know, Jesus Christ was tempted with that. He was tempted to do his own thing. He was tempted to live for himself. You know, the actual things that he may have been tempted with may have been different, but the end result was same, to satisfy and kind of protect our flesh. Another thing I thought about was we read of Jesus riding into the temple, into Jerusalem, on this donkey. Have you ever thought of what it meant to Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey? Why not a big, powerful stallion? You know, a great big horse. Why a donkey? You know, today we, especially young boys, and sometimes not so young boys, like fast, powerful cars. We do. And, you know, I don't think Jesus was ever tempted to go out and get into his sports car and peel out of there. He wasn't tempted because there were no cars. But I wonder if he cringed at the thought of riding this lowly donkey into Jerusalem? I don't know. You think he did? Maybe his flesh cringed at this thought of this king, eternal king, Lord of lords, King of kings, giving himself to riding this lowly donkey. You know, it's kind of like driving a minivan instead of this nice souped-up SUV. Really, it is. I know some children that, they think it's, they have the opinion that to drive a minivan is not cool. Jesus didn't drive a minivan, but neither did he drive an SUV. The bottom line is pride. That's really what it is. He was tempted with pride. And yet he resisted that pride and he was sin free. So how do we find it ourselves today? Can we resist pride in whatever area we're tempted with? It might be a powerful truck. It might be a fast car. It might be a, I don't know what you face. But, can we see that if we're tempted with pride and we fail, that we've sinned? Because we give in to pride. Jesus Christ was tempted with pride, and yet he was without sin. Now, number four is he was faithful. We read that later on in chapter 3 that he was a faithful high priest. He was faithful in all his house. Luke 9:51 says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And Isaiah 50:5-8 says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me." Jesus Christ was willing to deny his flesh and submit to God there in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, when he prayed that heart-rending prayer to God to spare him of going through that awful death on the cross, he submitted to God. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." His prayer was, in my own words, "Father, my flesh doesn't want to die this awful death. But if there's no other way, then I'm willing to submit to your will." Jesus Christ knew what was coming when he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew that he would, that it was prophesied that he will be smitten. He knew that his cheeks would, all the hair would be plucked out of his cheeks. And yet, also he knew that his face, that he would face shame. People would spit on him. "And yet I have set my face like a flint, and I will go to Jerusalem." He was faithful. He was willing to give his life for a ransom for man, to redeem man back to himself. He was willing to do this to defeat Christ, Satan, who had bound men for many generations. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ Jesus. So this morning, as we look at Jesus, as we see Jesus, can we consider the temptations that he went through and understand that there is a way for us to be faithful? We don't have to wallow around in this dark and dreary defeat of fleshly lusts and desires and what have you. Christ Jesus has given us a way out. If we but believe in the Lord Jesus and allow him to have his way with us. Christ faced these temptations just as well as we did. Probably more so, in a more perfect sense. That verse is found in Corinthians somewhere about not facing a 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Do we believe that this morning? Is Jesus real to you? Can you see Jesus this morning? Is he your all in all? Is he able to bring you up out of this dark and miry pit? Okay, coming back to Christ, if we come back to Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to read some testimonies of God that he was speaking about Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ was human. He was perfect man, perfect God. He went through the death of the cross. He defeated Satan. He rose again and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And this is the testimony that God the Father gave to about Jesus. That God has highly exalted him. Every name is under the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every man, woman, and child will bow their knees. Someday. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it doesn't say to the glory of Jesus, but it says to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ was God's answer to man's problem. Now if we go to Ephesians, Jason stopped reading just before these couple verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, it says... Well, maybe we'll start reading back in verse 16. This was a prayer of Paul for the Ephesian church. says, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Now verse 20, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Again, this is a testimony of God about Christ, that he brought him up out of the grave and put him at the right hand of the Father. And when Stephen was stoned, it says Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father, but when he was... There was another testimony of Jesus sitting at the right hand, but when Stephen was stoned, Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father. But he was interceding. He was making intercession for Stephen, and he does that for us. Jesus Christ is all in all. Now in Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10 is another testimony of God through the Apostle Paul. Colossians 2, verses 9 through 10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." This morning, do you see Jesus? Is Jesus real to you? If you have him in your heart, you have all the power of God in your life. You do. It's up to you to grab a hold of it and make it yours. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He has provided everything that we need. He is God himself. Come down to earth as a man to provide our salvation. And it's up to us to make it ours. To make it our that experience. Let me back up. It's up to us to choose to believe in Jesus. I think with these thoughts, we'll just kneel for prayer.